Welcome to God and Country Radio. Program discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This week's program is a book review on Michelle Obama's new book, The Light We Carry. Critiquing a self-help book is not my usual programming. I usually review ideological political books. But I was at Costco this last week, and there was an entire skid load of Michelle Obama's book. And I was curious as to what Michelle Obama could possibly have to say, so I started flipping through the pages. And as I expected, it was the typical self-help, believe in yourself, pagan ideology that has pretty much infiltrated every institution in America because people are biblically illiterate. And so the book becomes a great example of a bad example. Americans today no longer have a biblical view of God or man or the source of truth or good versus evil. In other words, they don't have a biblical worldview. And worse, they don't even know how much they have fallen away from a biblical worldview. Because they assume the ideas that they like, the ideas that come into their head must be truth. And they're like what Jesus condemned in the social leaders in his day. Matthew 15:9. They teach as doctrine the precepts of men. And verse 14, they are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. If you study the Bible seriously, it will overturn almost all of your preconceived assumptions. What you used to think was good advice, you will soon discover that it was nothing more than a lie from the pit of hell. But again, most people in their pride start with an a priori assumption that their own ideas about the world and their experiences, the way they interpret their experiences, are true. And of course, the culture will reinforce this by applauding the very ideas that contradict the word of God. The prophet Jeremiah, 600 BC, had to deal with so many false teachers in his day because they all had their dreams, their intuitions, their scrolls, their self-help advice. Just like today, the airwaves and the bookstores are filled with everyone's opinions. And Jeremiah would write in Jeremiah 23:28, "What does the straw, the chaff, have in common with the wheat?" The chaff is the ideas of men. It contains no nutrition. The wheat's the word of God. Now, a word about book reviews. I wish the Christian community had come out with a rebuttal book for every secular book that was ever written, especially beginning in the 19th century, when the intellectuals were laying the foundation for every current godless philosophy. It would have been good for Christians to write a rebuttal to Darwin's Origin of Species when it first came out, or a response to Margaret Mead's The Coming of Age in Samoa, or a response to Adam Smith's A Wealth of Nations, or a response to Utilitarianism by John Stuart Mill's, or a response to Freud's The Ego and the Id. At the end of the 19th century, every explanation for reality in the field of cosmology or ethics or economics or psychology that contradicted the biblical worldview became a bestseller and was incorporated into the curriculum of every university. Because the default position in the human heart has always been some other explanation for reality apart from God's explanation. Because God's explanation offends the pride of man. Now, I suppose the church didn't respond with immediate rebuttals because the church was caught off guard. These false teachers arrived secretly bringing in damnable heresies, 2 Peter 2:1. As the old saying goes, error travels around the world while truth is still trying to put its boots on. Plus, Christians don't have the time to track down every crackpot theory. Now, Christians eventually do respond to the major literary errors. You can read plenty of sermons and articles refuting secular works. But those rebuttals never make it into the universities, because in our fallen world, the wind is at the back of the secular humanists. Remember when the Da Vinci Code movie came out? Lee Strobel wrote a Christian book refuting the lies in that movie. There was also Eric von Daniken's The Chariots of the Gods, where he taught that the biblical prophets were just visited by aliens. And a Christian wrote a rebuttal book, Crash Goes the Chariots. You know, I'd love for there to be a Christian response to every single New York Times bestseller, just to remind the world that God has a message that is the polar opposite of what's popular with this world. But in the plan of God, God never had his people write most of those books. So that truth is only found by those who seek for God with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. For the rest of the population, hearing they don't hear, seeing they don't see, and God allows a strong delusion to come upon them. Now, a word about critiquing an author, or rather, criticizing. Now, people really get offended when their writings are criticized, because what they write is a reflection of them. It's their ideas, it's their values. To criticize their book is to criticize them. Now, if you say, you know, that's the dumbest book I've ever read, of course people are going to take offense. But even if you criticize nicely and try to explain the errors, the knives will still come out. The prophet Jeremiah was hated because of Jeremiah chapter 23, his discourse against the thought leaders of his day. And Jesus was put on the cross because of Matthew 23, his discourse in the temple calling the leaders of Israel hypocrites, blind guides, fools, children of hell. Socrates was even put to death for criticizing the leaders in his day. His defense at his trial has been preserved, and it's a great read. Socrates said to the jury, you know, why am I controversial? Why do I bother some people? Why do I have an evil name? Because I told a politician who thought he was wise that he wasn't wise. He wanted all people to think that he knew when he really didn't know. Everyone believes they're so smart, and I didn't affirm that. So they accuse me because they do not like to confess that their pretense of knowledge has been detected. Instead of being angry with themselves, they became angry with me. My plainness of speech made them hate me. And what is their hatred but a proof that I'm speaking the truth? If I'm destroyed, it will not be by these accusers, but the envy and detraction of the world, which has been the death of many a good man, and will probably be the death of many more. Socrates' defense at his trial, 400 BC. So here's a question. Do you get offended when people criticize you? Maybe when the pastor steps on your toes, so to speak. If you do, you'll never grow. Because of our default sinful condition, because of our innate spiritual blindness, we need our ideas to be rebuked. We ought to begin just with the assumption that we're probably wrong. And the righteous man not only comes to expect that the word of God will belittle him, he actually comes to love it. Psalm 141:5, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It's oil upon my head. Do not let my head refuse it. Or how about Proverbs 28:23? He who rebukes a man will find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. Will Michelle Obama be offended by my critique if by some remote chance she happens to listen to it on YouTube? Well, I hope she'll be offended so that she'll be helped. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I do not regret that my letter made you sorrowful, because you're made sorrowful to the point of repentance. And we all need to be made sorrowful in life so that we come to repentance. And to save, we must repent And that repentance is not just over wrong behavior. It's really about repenting of wrong beliefs, wrong ideas. The very word repentance means to change your mind. What we used to think was true, we now realize it's error, and vice versa. Now, what's my authority? If the ideas of men are vanity, Psalm 94:11, doesn't that undermine my own critique? No, because I am sharing the word of God. And Christ has delegated to us his authority, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And yes, there are false teachers, false religious teachers. But a counterfeit dollar bill doesn't mean that the real thing doesn't exist. The word of God is like a fire, declares the Lord, and a hammer which shatters the rocks, Jeremiah 23, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is the source of all wisdom. Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. But as it is right now, the intellectual and the social leaders of our day are spewing out garbage. We're warned in Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. And that's what we have today in almost every single self-help book. It's not according to the teaching of Christ, but made up fantasies about how we can live better. So that's a very long introduction to my book review. It had to be lengthy because we live in a world that's teaching that truth is relative and that no man should judge with righteous judgment, especially you shouldn't be judging social leaders. So in the little bit of time I have left, I want to cover the overall error in Michelle Obama's book. Some of the details I may be able to get into in my YouTube edition of this program. But just to start with, the title alone reveals her unbiblical worldview, a denial of the biblical theology of man's sin. The book is entitled, The Light We Carry. And this is one of the foundational errors in secular humanism, liberalism, leftism, an error upon which many other false ideas and false social policies are built. This teaching that man is basically good, that we have light within, that as the religious liberals in the beginning of the 20th century used to write, there is a spark of divinity in every man. Now, is this Michelle Obama's ideological belief and teaching, or is this just some sort of fluffy, feel-good title? Well, in reading the book, this is exactly what she believes. That goodness and truth can come from within oneself. She says on page 17 that we're to find the strength and the light in ourselves, that we must learn to use our light, that each of us carry a bit of inner brightness. There's no mention in the book of God or coming to God or the need of the gospel, the need for the new birth, regeneration, conversion. No mention of faith or repentance. No mention of man being a sinner who needs to get right with God and be filled with the Holy Spirit for any good thing to happen. So the poison is not only what she writes, but in what she doesn't write. There's no mention of God. Now you say, well, this is not supposed to be a religious book. But no Christian I know of would ever dare give life counsel without a reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the only solution. In fact, I don't even know of any Christian author who would ever entitle a book, The Light We Carry. Because that is so antithetical to basic 101 Christian theology. You know, it may tickle ears, 2 Timothy 4:3, but it's just crazy unbiblical. Because here's what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. The unsaved person is not simply in darkness. He actually is darkness. There's no light within. And Jesus said about the people in his day that they were sitting in darkness, that they were sitting in the land and the shadow of death. And the Gospel of John begins, John 1:5, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. In John 1:9, Jesus is the true light which comes into the world. But as far as people are concerned, there's no light within them. John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the judgment that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. But everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. People can only have light if they're born again through Christ. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 12, 46, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. So without Christ, our default position is darkness. We do not carry any true light within us. So if Jesus or the apostles wrote a book, the title would be The Light That We Do Not Carry, or The Light That We Don't Have, but The Light That Can Be Found in Christ. Is this title of Michelle Obama's book such a big deal, or am I just being picky? Well, in reading the book, her title reflects the entire philosophy behind everything she writes. And this is a serious worldview difference between Christianity and leftist secular humanism. Michelle Obama is the typical unsaved woman who has drank all of the Kool-Aid, the self-help nonsense being taught in the universities and by Oprah Winfrey. You say, but Michelle Obama used to attend church or does attend church. Well, there are many churches today that are nothing more than social clubs. And the gospel is redefined as promoting communism and human rights and human dignity and advancement. You know, as I was reading through Michelle's book, it occurred to me that these ideas are the reason for leftist political policy. Political leftism is accompanied by humanistic beliefs about man, God, and salvation. And in order to correct leftist policies, we must realize we must first correct the underlying erroneous worldview. Otherwise, we get nowhere. Gretchen Machen, a theologian at Westminster Seminary at the beginning of the 20th century, a true Christian, wrote a famous book called Christianity and Liberalism. Religious liberalism, modernism, was taking over the universities, the seminaries. And Machen sought to explain the underlying tenets of liberalism, because liberalism sounds good and hence deceiving. Machen explained how liberalism redefines God, man, the Bible, Christ, salvation, and the church. And the book is just as relevant today as it was 100 years ago. And this is the book you should be reading rather than The Light We Carry. But at the beginning of his book, Christianity and Liberalism, Machen shares the story of a popular play back in the 1920s. And it was about a group of people living in a boarding house. The plot developed where these people were selfish, snapping at each other, snarling about things to eat and creature comforts. But then, to quote Machen, a mysterious stranger entered upon the scene and all was changed. He had no creed to offer, no religion, but he simply engaged everyone in conversation and discovered some good points about each one of them. Some one true human affection, some one noble ambition. And when the goodness of these people were brought to light, the lives of the people in the room were transformed. The evil that was in man was overcome by the good that was already there. And Machen points out that this is the heresy in liberalism the liberal false view of salvation. How man can be better by himself, improve himself, and ultimately earn heaven. And that false doctrine is what Michelle Obama's book is all about. Her book is actually that play. That if we just use the goodness already within us, if we just find the right tools for thinking within us, we can be successful. Now, Christians who know the Bible laugh at such nonsense. But this is the theme behind every single movie, every novel, every play in the world today. The hero saves himself without Christ. And salvation, utopia, can be found by man lifting himself by his own bootstraps, rather than the biblical gospel that man is a filthy sinner in need of a radical conversion by the Holy Spirit. And God is the Savior. The world is saying, believe in yourself, but God says, Jeremiah 17 verse 5, thus hath the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, what I also found fascinating in Michelle Obama's book were the concerns that were on her heart, concerns that Christians wouldn't even consider. Or rather, we would see them as 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the pride of life. She had a constant focus on being different from others, constantly comparing herself with others. Her concern was about not being good enough. She mentions that throughout her book. At first, it sounds like humility, but it was really about her desire to be accepted by others in the world. It reminds me of Jesus' rebuke to the people in his day in John chapter 5. How can you believe when you're seeking glory from one another and not seeking the glory of God? The book was all about one's own self-affirmation and not about God's glory. And that attitude is always an obvious heresy for Christians. She talked about affirming periods in her life as if it was all about her need to be affirmed. And her concern was that others might learn to accept themselves. And that's so different from what Jesus said, that in order to be saved, one must even come to hate his own life and to deny self. And her concerns were all about feeling valued, finding her voice, locating her power, and to recognize your own light and then becoming empowered to use it, to use self-knowledge to build confidence, rather than Jeremiah chapter 9 to have God confidence. Well, in short, what I found in Michelle Obama's book is someone who's trying to find peace and wholeness without Christ. And she, like many others, like all Christians have done, needs to repent and turn from this Christless path. In closing, let me share the testimony of Doreen Virtue, a very successful writer of New Age books. But then in her testimony, Doreen Virtue goes on to share that she heard a message on the radio by Alistair Begg about man's sin and false beliefs. The Spirit of God opened her heart and she turned to Christ. She writes, after a lifetime of involvement in Christian Science and New Age practices, it took time to clear away the cobwebs of false beliefs. Reading the Bible changed everything. I was broken, deeply shamed, and humbled. And on that very day, I gave my life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the title of her testimony is, Please Don't Read My Books Anymore. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The links for all of these programs is at godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Keep strong in the faith. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, bring many souls from darkness to light for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.